This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. Today is Thursday. It doesn't matter. I don't know when you're listening to this. This is the funny show.
It's next Thursday, so it'd be the third, maybe?
Sure. You know what? Look, this is the funny show. This is not... Show. It doesn't matter when this stuff happens.
It doesn't matter. Right.
Look, when the fucking man bites the dog, are you checking your fucking watch to see what time it is? No. We're having a good time.
We're going to have a good time today.
Having a good time. So let's start having a good time at the donut shop. This story comes from the New Republic. I fucking love this.
Oh, man.
Tim Walz trolls J.D. Vance by buying donuts like a normal human person.
I love that what we've come to is if you do a normal thing like a normal person, that is trolling.
Trolling J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance literally cannot act like a normal human in any fucking single situation.
Did you see him try to complain about the price of eggs?
When he stood, so he's standing in front of the price of eggs and he's complaining, he's saying they're very expensive. And then behind him, they're on sale less than he's complaining amount.
He's holding a flat of eggs, which is 2 dozen eggs. And he's complaining that a dozen eggs cost $4 while holding 2 dozen eggs in front of a sign that says eggs are $2.99.
Too many, JD.
It's like, what is happening in your life?
Eggs, better. More eggs. More eggs cost more for you.
Small chicken embryos for to be eating.
Wouldn't it be amazing if he just fucking like one-handed cracked two of them and just opened them right in his mouth?
It would be even better if he just put one in his mouth and chewed it.
Shell it all. You know what'd be amazing? He puts it in his mouth. It stays in there for a second, and then he ejects the unbroken shell, and there's nothing in it.
Like Fabergé style.
It's like a magic trick, right? He's like that Blaine guy. He just puts it in his mouth, comes out. It'd be fucking amazing.
Oh my god.
God, this guy. He's such a person who is so disconnected from other people. I was thinking about his interactions at the donut shop that he had.
Yeah.
When he had these interactions, he walked up to somebody and he says, "So long you worked here?" And they say, "Oh, 6 months. He said, "Okay, good. How long you worked here?" And then he goes to the next person and they tell him, he's like, "Okay, good." And then he's like, "I'll just take, a lot of glazed, two dozen, a lot of glazed, whatever makes sense."
Whatever.
And then he walks.
My favorite things.
Whatever
makes sense is to order food as whatever makes sense. Because it's like, I do not know how many donuts the humans purchase. Whatever is the requisite donut volume, put in my basket of taking aways.
Check your instruction manual to see. But here's the thing. I have been in so many different establishments where I trust the person who is serving the food.
Sure.
So I've said to people who've come to my table as waiters or waitresses, and I've said, "Can you recommend something? Or you know what? Can you surprise me with something off the menu?" That's happened to me multiple times. I've gone into places of business like this and been like, "You know, I'll take, can you just put a box of your best sellers together for me or something like that?" That's a perfectly rational and fine thing to do.
That is not what he did. That's a really kind thing to do too, because it says like, "Hey, I trust your judgment. I know that I can trust the food here." Like just being like, cause he so doesn't care about what he's getting.
Yeah.
That's really the message. He's like, "I'm just here for the photo op."
Yeah.
So like whatever you want to put in a fucking bag, I don't give a shit. I'm going to give it to the staffers.
Yeah.
I don't care that I'm here. It's also like, and I don't really want to shame him too hard, but I do. You know, if you ever read any advice on how to like talk on a date, for example, or have small talk, it's all the same advice. You don't ask closed-ended questions because there's nothing left for you to do once it's answered.
They just say it and then you're done.
See, so how long have you worked here?
Okay, good.
There's nothing for you to do.
Yeah.
You say, hey, you know, this is a great donut shop that you've got here. What do you like about working here at the donut shop?
That's a great way to say it. That's a great question.
You give them,
I don't like anything. I hate my job.
Yeah.
I hate my life.
Everything. I like the paycheck. No matter what they say to that, though, that gives you something you can jump back into, right?
Sure,
you know, like there are so many. There's and it takes some practice to get used to asking open versus closed-ended questions. But he's a fucking politician, man.
I was going to say that. You know, the thing, Tom, is that I was going to identify more with J.D. Vance because I've been to live shows. I've been to Reason Con and other places. I don't have a great method of communication with people I don't know.
Right.
Well, if I know you, I can have a great conversation with you. But I'm an extrovert. I'm an introvert. So it's really hard for me to have these very public, very, you know, extroverted moments in my life. I have to work really hard in those moments to try not to say things that I think are J.D. Vance.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
But I'm not running for vice fucking president of the United States, man. You just have to be good at that stuff.
Yep.
It's kissing babies and shaking hands.
Yeah.
He's going to shake a baby and kiss a hand.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Oh, God, he's stuck on shaking mode. Give the baby back, JD.
He's still shaking the baby. Up.
Oh, God, he's shaking.
He's got one in each hand. He's got maracas. Look at him go.
He's trying to suck an egg out of that lady. Jesus Christ.
Put you will
down.
Take my ovipositor. Oh, God. But hold on, though. Let's talk about Tim. We got to talk about Tim.
So here's what Tim does, and here's the difference. First of all, Tim is not just straight up using the place he goes to, right? So like J.D. Vance knows nothing about the place he's going and he's not prepared to have a conversation. He's got no idea what's happening. Tim Walz walks in. He knows the local specialty in this part of town in fucking Nebraska or wherever they're at is the, I don't remember. It doesn't matter. It's like, you know, the horseshoe fritter or some bullshit,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And he's like, oh God, you know, whenever if you're out this way, guys, you have got to try the fucking horseshoe fritter. This goddamn thing is delicious. Hey, tell me more. Did you guys come up with this recipe? Where'd this come from? He's asking questions. He's interested. He's knowledgeable. He's connecting on a level that like gives these people a little bit of a commercial, right? It gives the owner of this business a little bit of a commercial. It gives the owners of the business something to be proud of.
Sure.
Something that says like, I know a little bit about you before I got here. I took the 5 minutes. That's all it is.
I know.
The 5 minutes to ask a staffer to Google this. Even if he didn't know it ahead of time, right? It's a nothing burger ask, but it makes it more human. And then he just knows how to talk to people because he was, I don't know, a teacher. And then he was like legitimately an actual politician and not a bought and paid for Peter Thiel fucking plant like J.D. Vance is. So like, it's just this real honest human space that he shares with somebody. It couldn't be more different, man.
Yeah. I think it's great. And I think, you know, like this is the difference between the two people. I mean, when you look at Trump the other day, he walked into a bodega or something.
Did he really?
Did you see this? It was some kind of like, you know, in New York City, they have these small, tiny places. It might not have been an actual bodega, but it was like a tiny little market.
Yeah, it's probably a bodega.
And he walks in and he handed some
lady Lucy's and shit.
Who was fucking buying her groceries. He gave her $100. He's like, here you go. You're going to get a lot more later on when we, you know, lower prices.
Very, very of the people thing to do.
But also,
what a weirdo.
Also just such a weird thing to do, right? Like that's a genuinely, and I think that that's the real problem. And that's also, I mean, if you think about it, this is the difference between these people. There's two guys who have no idea what it's like to be a normal person.
Yep.
And then there's two people who know exactly what it's like to be a normal person, who knows exactly what it's like to look at your checking account at the end of the month and be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, there's two people on one side of that.
And like the Trump thing is not generous.
No.
Right? It's not generous. It's a, this means nothing to me gesture. That's what that
is. It's a prop.
It's a prop. I would like to use you as a prop.
Yeah.
And I would, and it's, it should never be confused.
It's using someone, it's using someone's, you know, poverty as a prop.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
it's
silly.
Gross. It's fucking gross. All right, this comes from Fortune. Donald Trump is selling $100 coins, but the silver they're made of is only worth
$30. I'm going to show the picture they chose. It's the picture they chose. It's the best. He looks like a little rascal.
He does look like, oh, you caught me. Oh, you caught me.
Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, I can't read this because it's behind
a paywall.
It's behind
a paywall, yeah.
It's behind a paywall, but
it literally doesn't matter. It's another fucking grift.
This is Trump Cyrus coins. Everybody's been trying to grift off Trump since he became the nominee, even.
No one more so than Trump.
No one more so than him. You're absolutely right. I mean, he's grifted with a charity that had to get closed down. He's grifted all the time with all these other things that he's trying to do.
He's grifted with his sneakers, like his fucking stupid gold-plated asshole sneakers.
Well, and then his cards and his
stupid NFTs. Yeah.
And then his stock.
Well, and then his dumbass stock that's now worth like next to nothing. It's it's going to be a goddamn penny stock.
Should we look?
Let's look at it.
Let's see
where it's
at, Tom.
Oh, God, this is my
time. Last time
I didn't look since yesterday.
It was at 16.
16 or change, yeah.
Yeah, let's see where it is. 1398.
Ah, fuck you.
It's still going down. And if you look at this, if you look at the way this thing is going down, let's do a month and see. The month is the best because it starts out at 22 and then it's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Dude, I love this.
Whoa. It actually went down to 12:15. That was the lowest it was at.
Do you know why? Because on September 23rd, that was the cutoff day where technically by law, he was allowed to sell his shares.
Everybody
was like, he's going to dump the shares.
Get out.
So they dumped their shares and it rallied back up to 13.98.
Woof.
That's from like a 6-month high of almost $70.
Yeah. Well, at a year, the highest point, like you said, is $66.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
God, it's so funny.
And now it's went from 67. So all those fucking Trump-loving chuckle fucks, the idiots who are driving around their fucking lifted rolling coal trucks with their flags whipping around in the background, their dumbass fucking gold-plated idiot sneakers, and they got the fucking NFTs and the spokes of their dumbass tires or whatever.
It just makes a sound of something going down a drain.
And they've got the fucking like little scrap of Trump's suit that he's selling to the gullible. Like, and then they're like, these same people are like, well, I bought these stocks. My whole life savings, I bought these stocks. $67 a share.
Yeah, man.
And I lost 80% of the fucking value.
Even if you came in early and you bought them for like 35, you're still well under half. Well under half.
You've lost so much money.
You're so underwater.
Well, like, you know, when you Google the DJT thing, one of the first things that comes up, like if you look at any of like the financial
gambling
for
problem,
DJT,
oh, sorry.
it's like their profit line is like negative 2,000% in that company.
Jesus Christ.
It's negative.
Does
I'm not
Devin
even exaggerating.
You still have a job?
Dude, actually call it up. I don't want people to think I'm exaggerating. Google DJT stock. Because I do this regularly and then scroll down a little bit and it usually appears, quarterly financials on the right-hand side. Just keep Googling, go scrolling. So quarterly financials, let me read this to you guys. This is I'm going to read their year-over-year percentages and their whole dollar values. June 2024, revenue, $837,000 in revenue. That's down 30% year-over-year. Net income, negative $16.37 million for a net profit margin of negative 1,955.79%.
It feels like a lot.
That's just so much money.
Yeah.
That's so much money. Their total net income is a negative $16 million on an income profit of
under a million dollars.
They're making $2,000 negative, 2,000% negative profit. This isn't a company.
Yeah, no.
This is nothing.
This is like a money laundering scheme. That's what that is.
What is happening? Who looks at these financials and it's like, that's my pony.
Oof.
Hey, Martha, get all the money out from underneath that fucking couch cushions.
That isn't even penny stock worthy.
It's fucking trash.
It's trash.
It's from Entertainment Weekly. Guy Fieri was mistaken for the bartender and told to get back to work while hanging out at Sylvester Stallone's house.
Now, I don't know anything about Guy Fieri except for what I've seen on TV, right? So, like, I have no idea. Some of these cooks have some bad background in their backgrounds, and, like, sometimes there's some controversy. I don't think there is any with him, but, you know, in any case, I don't know.
It's actually the exact opposite.
But what I've known of him is the exact opposite, right? He seems to do charity work. He seems like a nice guy. He seems like a down-to-earth dude.
Right.
And one of the things that lets me know that is this story. Because he didn't get mad.
Right.
He was just like, ah. He like had a joke with the person afterwards. And they're like, I'm sorry. And he just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, it's funny. That's funny.
He was just like at this event at Sylvester Stallone's house. And like he was cooking at the event. And so he was dressed pretty casually. And it sounds like he dresses casually anyway. And the fucking caterer director was like, hey, take off that fucking stupid jacket and get back behind the bar, chucklehead. And he was like, I'm a guest here. I don't work for you. And then I just fucking love this. Yeah. I love that he was chill about it. And that is the same as everything I've read, is that like he does a whole bunch of charitable work. Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's ever been a scandal about Guy Fieri. And he's the butt of like every joke.
He is, but you know.
But he's like a super sweet dude. But
also, he has an amazing job, right?
Oh my God, I know. Wouldn't you kill for that job?
I would fucking kill somebody for this job. Drive around in hot rods, right? Wear flame shirts. I don't care what you dress. Doesn't matter, right? I would dress like Anthony Melchiori if I was going to do this.
Who the hell is that?
Anthony Melchiori ran a show that Sarah and I used to watch that was Hotel Impossible or something like that. I forget what it is, but he was a hotel manager. But he had the nattiest suits I've ever seen. And he always wore a three-piece. Every day, no matter what, he was always in a three-piece suit. And so, but he had the greatest suits. Genuinely the greatest suits.
That's awesome.
But in any case, you know, dress how you want. Drive around in hot rods and get to go to really unpretentious places and meet really unpretentious people about very local food.
That'd be so fun.
And chat to them about what they do and how they came up with this idea. And then you get to talk to like very unpretentious people there to buy the big giant beef stick or whatever it is they're eating. And then you get to try whatever it is they have. Yeah. And then you get to go on to the next place. And I think that is such what an amazing job, but also, like I say, so unpretentious.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is, and for him to just, I don't know, man. I think this guy is like, he's pretty dope.
Dude, he's awesome. It's so funny to me because like he's become the Nickelback of food.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. Like, because Nickelback, I understand. That's a bad band.
I feel like people are just jealous.
It's got to be.
It's a fucking amazing
Maybe
job.
It's the frosted tips or whatever. I don't know. Man. He's got bad hair.
You but like, people whatever. Stay in their own, you know, like I think there's a certain point in your life where you reach a place and you're like, this is my style.
Yeah, this is what I look.
And I don't do anything else now.
This is what I look like now and I don't know how to change it.
I'm not going up or down or leaving the style or whatever. Sometimes people try to break out of it, especially in their midlife, they'll try to break out of it. But for the most part, this is your style.
That's it.
If you were emo in your 30s, you're probably going to be emo forever. Okay.
Oh, if you're emo in your 30s, you are hard committing to emo
forever. Yeah. So you know, you just stick with it. You just roll with it. And I think he hit that point.
Yep.
And he's like, this is me. I'm the fire shirt guy.
Yeah, right.
I'm the guy who wears a fire bowling shirt. And I wear a fire bowling shirt everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's what I do.
He bought them all out.
He bought them
the
all
fucking
out.
Warehouse.
They don't sell fire bowling shirts anymore. I used to wear, back in the day, they used to have like these colorful bowling shirts.
I had bowling shirts.
And I liked them.
Yeah.
They were nice. They were
I'll
comfortable.
Tell you what, when I was heavier, a bowling shirt, I fancied it as being more flattering. I don't know that it was.
Probably wasn't.
But I fancied it that way.
It's a big sack. It's a real big sack.
It is a big sack.
It's a big sack.
Yeah.
But they were comfortable. And that's why I liked them, because they were comfortable at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is great. And I had one with like a big dragon on it that I liked.
Yeah, I remember that shirt.
It was red and had this big like Chinese dragon on it. I was like, I like that shirt. That's a cool looking shirt.
Cool shirt.
And there was several of them that I owned that I liked quite a bit.
Yeah.
I was like, I like these. But then they just went out of style. And I was like, oh, I'm just never going to. And then you'll never be able to buy them. And then they just wear out. So you throw them out.
They went out of style. And then 2 years after they went out of style, I realized that is out of style.
That's me too.
I'm just like, wait.
That's me too.
No one's wearing the bowling shirt anymore.
Yeah. Why couldn't they? See, what's popular now is the bowling shoes. Like, why couldn't those two things be popular at the same time?
Then we could all go bowling and it'd be fine.
Why couldn't you all just do that?
I'm just fucking striking out. I have all these spare shoes. This story comes from Huffington Post. Pastor claims witchcraft is to blame for Donald Trump's bad debate. Sure, man. That's what it is, Lance Wallnew.
Lance Wallnew, you got to read what Lance says here. So this, it's more. So I got to show more. So because it's a longer tweet than just whatever is shown on the thing. So here we go.
All right. So he's responding to some guy who says, Kamala is quite effectively baiting Trump, talking about his rallies, using words like disgrace, deploying long debunked hoaxes like fine people, poking at his inherited wealth, telling him that world leaders are laughing at him. He needs to break out of this frame. All right, so Lance Wallnew responds. When I say witchcraft, I'm talking about what happened tonight. Occult power, deception, manipulation, and domination.
Caliente.
That's what ABC pulled off as moderators and Kamala's script handlers set up the kill box. One-sided questions and fact-checking sealed the box. Witchcraft. It's not over yet, but something supernatural needs to disrupt this counterfeit momentum because the same public that voted in Obama is voting again and her deception is advancing. Man, I think everything that he is, the quiet part out loud for him is the same public that voted in Obama is voting again. Now, notice he went to Obama, not to Biden.
Sure.
He's going back to black people because she's black. And he said,
well, she's only black recently.
She only recently became black.
I mean, let's not go crazy.
I forgot she's only recently became, yeah. I don't know what she's calling herself. Jesus Christ, what the fuck? But like, he calls back to Obama to say, black people are going to vote if we don't do something.
Yeah, if we don't
act now. That's really what he's saying.
If we don't act now and put up such unfavorable and shitty candidates that no one wants to vote for
Jesus Christ.
Then black people are going to get black involved in the electorate. And do we want that?
Do we want that? Witchcraft-wielding black people, guys?
You know,
is there anything scarier than black people with curses?
This week, one of these senators had to pull his tweet down where he fucking called like the Haitian people like dirty, gross, and like full of voodoo or whatever.
Yeah, dude. And like he's getting, there's a motion to censure him on the floor.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. It's so racist, man.
Grab him by the back collar and his fucking belt loops and throw him physically out of the fucking building.
That we don't do that is a fucking disgrace. I listened to like a reporter asked some colleague in that, you know, some Republican colleague, you know, like, hey, what about the, and I'm trying to remember the fucking guy's name. I don't remember his name.
It got taken down. I can't even find it now.
Yeah. I read a story about it and like, I can't remember the fucker's name, but he tweeted this he tweeted this horrible shit. And this fucking Republican, they asked him about it. And he's like, hey, like, what are we going to do about your horrible, reprehensible, racist fucking colleague? And he's from like Louisiana. And he's like, oh yeah, I know him. He's a great guy, friend of mine. You know, he took the tweet down. I think it's fine. And it's like, no, you don't get to say racist shit and then be like, oh, but I did a takesies backsies. No, now I know who you are.
Yeah.
Fuck now that guy. I know who you are.
Throw him out, censure him and throw and get him unelected, just like that fucking guy, that Steve guy from fucking Iowa.
Steve King.
Steve King, who got his fucking ass pounded when he said there was like, what's white nationalist? I am a white nationalist. Yeah. And then they immediately said, that's a terrible thing to say. You can't say things anymore.
I bet if somebody said that right now, it would be fine.
I bet you're right.
I bet you're right. It would be fucking fine. It's nothing. I mean, like Marjorie Taylor Greene showed fucking revenge porn on a fucking laptop.
Yeah.
On the floor of the
I'm surprised this is even happening. I don't think it'll go anywhere. Yeah, I'm surprised this is even happening. One of the things that I saw from the debates that was circulating was this comment, and it might have been Trump who said it, or it might have been some of these people, apologists after the fact, who were saying that she had gotten the questions ahead of time.
Oh my God, and I was heard just the like, same thing.
Dude, if you fucking did 6 seconds of research, you know what they're going to ask. It's not like there's Karnak holding a fucking envelope up to his head. All you have to do is know what are the most important things that people are asking right now. I will practice those things. That's it. If you prepare, it doesn't matter. I never understood this. They leaked the questions to him. Like, you don't have to. Yeah. Everybody knows what the questions are going to be.
Dude, it was like, that shit is so stupid. I also saw some bullshit about like, she had like fucking earrings and her earrings were really like a broadcaster to people that were feeding her the answers. And I'm like, she didn't have, it wasn't like a fucking like spelling bee, right?
Like, it was not Jeopardy.
Right.
Yeah.
What, like, if there was oh, that was the right answer. It's, because doesn't that mean?
Can I have I'm going to buy a vowel. Can I?
Because, like, seriously, if somebody's feeding her the answers, doesn't the right then have to concede that that was the right answer?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, you're absolutely right. They have to say, well, if that's what they were feeding her and that's the right answer to that question, right, then she's the better politician.
And at least, even if she's not the better, at least she's got people on her team who know the right answer. You guys don't know the answer.
And he didn't prepare at all for that.
No.
And he's also chickening out. Did you see this?
Oh, he's not going to do another debate.
Chickening out of the debate. And they said, Fox News even came out and they said, well, it's actually Trump's camp who won't agree to the Fox News debate. So he said, she won't come on Fox News. And everybody was like, well, she should go on Fox News because it's hostile territory, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, why do you want hostile? What do you want as hostile? In any case, she's willing to do it.
Yeah. I love that, like, Fox News is genuinely unhinged partisan bullshit. We know it so much, right? That during the fucking, like, the January 6th riots, fucking pundits, talking heads from Fox News were literally text messaging Mark Meadows, like, hey, you've got to get this guy to stop. Yeah. That's how embedded and partisan Fox News is. When, like, fucking ABC or whatever it was like, actually, there is no law that lets you murder a baby once it's outside the window. It's not a thing. Like, well, they just, like, reality is hostile to the right. Just true reality things. Like, actually, you know, there is not a group of migrants eating ducks straight out of the pond, like fucking duck sushi or whatever.
What I love too is that every time they fact check them, they're like, they're fact checking. I'm like, well, he's saying lies then.
Yeah, I know.
Like he's saying lies though. Yeah.
It's not even just like, I think this will be a better economic decision. You can't fact check that, right? But like, if you say like, there is a meteor that has landed on my head and is currently spinning 3 inches above my right ear, I'd be like, That's just not happening, man. I'm looking at your fucking earball, dude. It's not there.
Well, and then there's this constant, there's a bunch of people who want to attack and say that she brought up a conspiracy theory that he said there was very fine people on both sides. But he did say that.
He said that.
He had to walk it back.
Right.
But he had to walk it back. And when he walked it back, he was basically saying, I wasn't talking about the Nazis. I was talking about the guys who were hanging out with the Nazis. And then you're like, but those aren't very fine people either.
Right.
Because when there's, you know, one Nazi at a table with nine other guys, there's 10 Nazis,
yeah,
man.
Right. Yeah.
So you can't differentiate between, oh, I wasn't talking about the Nazis. I was just saying that on the other side of that, there was very fine people. Like, no, there wasn't. There was Nazis there. So by definition, there could not be very fine people on that side.
Yeah.
But they want to walk it back and say that that's the case. And it's that, but they keep on saying, well, you changed it. You went back on it. He wasn't talking about that.
But that's still, it's like, look, if I walk it back, it doesn't mean it didn't happen, right? Like apologizing for it doesn't change the thing that happened before. Like clarifying that I meant something that I obviously didn't mean when I said, it's like when J.D. Vance, said, yeah, sometimes I'll just make some shit up to get attention. And they're like,
wait, what?
And he's like, no, that's not what I meant to say
is bring it to public's attention.
Well, yeah, what I meant to say was something different because when I say it out loud, it does sound like
you
a bunch
me.
Of lids. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hold on, let me flip to this human instruction manual again really quickly. Oh, do you have an egg?
Crunch, crunch, crunch. All right, this story comes from news.com.au. Ray Gun ranked world number one after Paris Olympics controversy.
I think this is a Bodie McBoatface moment where people are just like, they're like, okay, come on now. We got to play a picture of her doing her routine. So here we go. Here's her doing her routine.
What is she doing this one for?
She's doing it with
Richard Branson Gretchen from Virgin. Branson.
So she's on a Virgin cruise. She's on a Virgin cruise.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Oh my God. Oh.
Look at all those guys.
Oh, Ray Gun.
Ray Gun's the best. Come on. Ray Gun's the best.
Oh, I love it.
oh, I hope she does that fish out of the water thing. Do the thing in the water where they're bouncing. No, this is something different.
No, I don't know what that is.
Now we went to a different TikTok. I shut it off. But yeah, so she's essentially just, you know, now ranked number one. I wonder if this is one of those things where people are just making her number one because it's really funny.
I don't know how the ranking works. I have no idea.
Did you watch any of the breakdancing?
I watched all of it.
So did you see some of it?
It was amazing. I literally watched all of it for men and women.
So some of it was absolutely stunning, crazy
yes.
stuff that was happening. But because of the way it's an artistic performance, right. so just like some of them just didn't make it
yeah.
because they didn't do all the things that they were supposed to do. And I had seen this on Reddit. There's a bunch of threads after it. And a bunch of people were saying, yeah, you can go out there and do a shit ton of these power moves that are really amazing. They're wow moves where these people are doing like, you know, with just their hands, they're doing the helicopter or something right. like that. And they say, yeah, you could do that stuff. But if you don't incorporate, you know, aspects of the song and do some dancing and do some like footwork and stuff, they'll just be like, yeah, you did a good job, but it's not what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Because it's a very specific thing they're looking
for. They have a scoring, like every Olympic sport, there's a scoring schedule.
And Reagan scored zero.
She scored zero.
On everything. But she's number one.
And she's number one. Well, yeah. like, I did like a bunch of reading because I was like, how did she get here?
Yeah.
How? Who sent her here? Who was like, that's our fucking pony? It's not like you can just decide, oh, I'm competing in the Olympics on Thursday. I'll see yeah, you guys
your,
there.
Your country's got to do something about that, yeah.
So like I've read like two articles on how she made her way there. And at first there was this conspiracy theory that like the judge was her husband. That's nothing. Yeah. That's nothing. That never happened. I still don't understand because like she won these tournaments, man. She won like more than one tournament in like the Oceania tournament of fine breakdancing yeah. or whatever the fuck her division is. Yeah. And that's how she ends up going. And I'm like,
well, some people had
competed against her.
Some people had speculated too, that the reason why she did really well in these other things and she was actually really talented. The reason why she did this yeah, on the main stage was because she's a cultural professor and she's upset that they're using breakdancing and she was there to sort of, this was like a protest thing.
Oh, so really?
I saw people suggest that, but I never heard her say that.
Yeah, because I listened to right? an interview with her.
So
she
I never heard
that.
Her
yeah.
suggest that, right. but I saw a lot of people ascribing this to her as if like, well, she clearly had a plan because she's so fucking
she's so bad.
I have to explain this some way.
Dude, it is seriously, I did the same immediately after watching her performance before I even knew that this was going to be like a viral thing. Cause we watched it right away. I was actually really excited to watch breaking. I was like, oh, I think breakdancing is really cool. Like Haley and I watched all the gymnastics, all the rhythm gymnastics. Cause she loves that stuff and the breaking. That's what we watched for the Olympics. And I'm like, how did she do it? Like still can't figure it out. I still don't know.
I'm going to play this just for everybody. So here we go, guys.
Okay.
This is a TikTok that was going around and was pretty viral when this just happened. So this is not her, but it is very funny.
My name is Rachel Gunn, but my main peeps know me as Ray Gunn. I think what people don't understand about breaking is that it's not just a dance. It's not just a sport. It's a lifestyle. When you're a big girl like me, there's no days off. One minute I might be making a sandwich and the next time I'm hitting the sprinkler or I'm rolling around on the floor, you know, it just comes over me. I have a PhD in dance culture, so legally that makes me good at it, good at dance. Breaking represents life. So for example, when I hit my signature kangaroo move, kangaroo, Australia, Ray Gunn, a lot of people miss that. I'm actually a professor and I teach about the cultural politics of breakdancing. And breaking was invented by African-American teens in New York City in the 1970s. So I thought, who better to represent that culture than me? Ray Gunn. People are saying I was appropriating dance culture because I'm a white woman. But here's the thing. When you've already decolonized dance, as I have done, you can't then recolonize it. It cancels out.
Outstanding. I was viral when she was
doing it. Oh, so good. So. I feel like this is going to be me when I'm
you
old.
You think it's going to be you?
100%. This comes from westerntelegram.co.uk. Man stabbed himself to death separating frozen burgers.
It's the worst. Where did he? Where is it from here, Tom?
This is from, where the fuck is this from?
This name?
Okay, he's got a flat. It's a guy named Barry Griffiths. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's in fucking, we got to get fucking Marsh to come on and pronounce this. All right, he's got a flat in Leandrindod Wells.
You know it's not pronounced like that. You Dude, know that they don't pronounce the first half of that word.
Well, and they slur it all
and
together
then they
to be a
slur it all
mush.
Together into mush.
It's
and
probably so like Mushenfurbs.
It's probably like Leandfurbs.
And like, and there's an inquest at Punty Pippard's coroner's. This is all made up shit.
Come on.
He's a fucking
That's
like.
That's not real.
Yeah, no. He's a fucking hobbit in the Shire. That's what he is. A hobbit in the Shire killed himself.
Poor guy. He's got frozen burgers. He's hungry. He wants to eat.
I can see how this
and
happens.
He's using a sharp knife, and I think he's pulling it toward himself.
Yep.
And then it just slips and hits him. Here's pro tip. What you need to do with the burgers is separate them. Just use a butter knife. A butter knife has the same exact type of
leveraging,
torque, leveraging that you would need. And there's literally no way you can hurt. I mean, you can hurt yourself with it, but you can't kill yourself with it. You could also use a spatula for this. You could also just let the burgers sit for 10 minutes.
Okay.
Maybe even
now
put
you're
them
being
inside,
fucking crazy.
Maybe put them in the microwave for a minute and then just they'd separate the, you know, there's a lot of other things you could do. You could even use a tong. You know, and then the tong's got that extra piece on there to do the twisting. So it might even twist easier. There's lots of ways to do this without a sharp knife. You don't need to use a sharp knife for this.
I have seen how I die. And it is this exact way. I'll be hungry. I'll be impatient. I've got like, I'm holding the burger thing against my fucking chest.
Against your body. It's always a great idea because it works for the first one. You're like, this is genius. This is popping. These
and then,
are popping.
And then it's going to slip and it's going
to
go in there.
Then you go to it's a little more frozen, a little more fired out. And then you slip and then
you stab
seppuku,
yourself,
essentially.
And the worst part is you didn't get your burger.
Yeah.
That's the worst part about dying like that. If I die hungry, I'm going to die mad, Cecil. I'm going to die so mad if I die hungry. This is like this is a Tom thing, though. This is absolutely be like, I was just trying to get a burger. Now I'm up here hanging out with fucking Beetlejuice or whatever, just in the fucking waiting room. Sister comes from NBC News. Officials probe death of Wells Fargo employee found in her cubicle 4 days after last scanning into work.
Jesus Christ.
Now, all right, it sounds bad, but she scanned in early Friday morning. So two of those days were Saturday, Sunday. But I do like to believe that if I fucking died, because like she didn't scan out for lunch or anything. She scanned in the morning.
Woof.
And then she died at some point. Fucking 4 days later.
The poor guy with that red stapler from Office.
And I think she had a cubicle.
Yeah. It's not like she had You could understand it if they had a private office in a place that you wouldn't go.
Yeah. I had a private office when I had an office before I got work from home.
Yeah.
Legitimately, I could work late, say goodbye to everybody, die in the office for real. And then Monday, if my office door was shut, nobody would knock on that door.
They wouldn't think you're in.
They would just think I wasn't there. The lights are motion sensor activated. I could be dead in there for a fucking better part of a week.
Until they start smelling.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is like where I used to work, we had a department that didn't have, we were kind of this sort of department that we were small at first and then we got bigger because we had another department fold into us. But then we had to take over two different spaces, right? One up north, one in the south. Because we had two campuses. And so there's like this weirdness where you're trying to fit everybody in these different places. And so in the downtown area where I worked, nobody came in down there. They all worked in like the northern part. So I was the only one who worked in the downtown campus. And I could be in there by myself for 4 or 5 days at a time.
Sure.
By yourself. Nobody. And those the people who worked there, they had offices that shut. Easy. That's easy. This person is in a cubicle.
Dude, they're in a cubicle, man.
A cubicle is the thing that gets me where you're just like, somebody's walking by like, man, that's rank. What's going on?
Oh, there's fucking Sarah sleeping at her desk again.
Like
when you die, you lose all muscle tension because you're fucking dead. Do you not fall out of your chair?
Maybe you get lucky. You know, sometimes your center of gravity won't make you fall completely out.
Maybe that's true.
Backwards this way.
I still think you'd look dead. I still think you'd look not normal.
Maybe they're just very exasperated at their work.
Like
normally.
Your neck would be all at a weird angle and shit. Like you,
you look like a horror movie no matter what.
And what they don't say in this article is like on fucking Tuesday, she had a meeting this weekend at Bernie's. They're in there to try to close the deal.
There's just so many scenes. Don't worry, she'll sign the papers.
Yeah.
She's going to sign him.
Hello.
Hello.
The day, like marionette her around.
Woof.
So this is fucking what? WUSA, convicted Capitol rioter arrested for trying to bite police officer at Aaron Lewis concert.
This is what happens when you take a bite out of crime and it tries to bite back. I think that's what happens.
So, like, this person was convicted, and they were, like, awaiting sentencing. They were out on bail, whatever it was. I don't remember. It doesn't even matter. They go to a fucking Aaron Lewis concert. They don't evidently have tickets to the concert because the cops get called because they're trespassing.
Sure.
So, like, you can only go to the concert if you have tickets, or you can only go into the fucking Capitol building if they're not in fucking session and you're not rioting.
I have a feeling this person has a history of this. Yeah, and then they get caught.
They get caught, and they fucking flip shit and bite the officer's leg.
Man, there is no better way to catch a baton to the fucking teeth than biting an officer's leg.
All I know about anything in life is, like, if I get arrested, one, it's gonna hurt because I am I've thought about this. I am the most inflexible person you've ever met. Putting my arms behind my back to handcuff me is going to fucking tear my rotator cuff.
Yeah.
There is a 0% chance that can be done.
It's not going to be done. And it's not going to be done lightly. They don't do it lightly.
So, like, if I get arrested, I'm just like, I have to resign myself to tearing at least one rotator cuff in that process. Yeah. There's no way.
Almost certainly your shirt, too.
Yeah. It's good. It's going to suck so bad. Like, it's terrible. But I'm also 100% sure I'm not resisting. That doesn't mean I won't get beat up, but it does mean I won't 100% get beat up.
There's a chance.
If you resist at all, they're going to kick the shit out of you. That's how this works. Yeah. It's terrible. It's not right, but it's fucking true.
Well, and nothing worse than, you know, there's nothing they treat worse than contempt a cop.
Yeah, man.
You know, there's nothing they treat worse than that.
I love this story. KTLA, 8-year-old Ohio girl drove to Target and went shopping. You guys, she didn't just grab the car and pop right down the road.
No, it's not like around the corner.
This is a 10-mile, 20 to 25-minute drive.
25-minute drive through busy traffic.
She drove the fucking, like, the family's
show this because they have a Google map. They have a Google map. It's 24 minutes, 11 miles in a car, depending on how you go. 22 minutes, it's 13 miles this way. Craziness. Just crazy.
Like, it's like, I think it's 24 minutes if she took the fucking expressway, if she took 460. If she takes I-460, presuming she didn't pop onto the fucking expressway, she's driving 14 miles or thereabouts, 22 minutes in the car. She's 8. That's a fucking third grader,
That's
man.
That's amazing, man.
That's a little kid.
That's amazing. And then, like, got there and started shopping.
Yeah, do you have your fucking credit card with you, kiddo? What's
happening?
Apple Pay
on your phone? What is happening?
What? And like the parents are like, where's my kid? They call the cops. The cops are like, well, I don't know. Is it this one that's wandering around Target by yourself? Because, like, that stands out like a sore thumb when an 8-year-old just, like, twirling her fucking car keys around her finger, whistling, maybe pushing his shopping cart, like, way over
like
her
way
head.
Yeah.
This is some Home Alone shit.
Wonder if you could, like, at that age, see if you can get another shopper to push you around. Have you ever tried to run away when you were a kid? Did you try?
No, you didn't try. Did you?
I don't remember doing it, but my buddy had a story about him leaving when he was 5.
Oh.
Getting that, like, being mad and leaving the house. And this was also back in the day, too, where your parents would just let you go.
Right.
So, like, nowadays, I don't know that this would happen, but back then, she's like, all right, well, we got to pack you a bag.
That's what they did. That's what Haley's parents did. They helped pack a suitcase. Yeah. Her mom did, and then took her picture. So there's actually a picture of Haley, like, looking all mad with, like, a suitcase and, like, walking up the door.
Well, that's this kid, too. He walked out, and then they just let him go.
Yeah.
This is a different time.
How far did the kid get?
I don't know exactly. Not far enough to, because he still had parents.
Didn't make it to Target.
he wasn't an orphan when I met him. So clearly he didn't get that far. I've heard stories of kids doing that. Like they do that, you know, they throw a tantrum enough to where I'm leaving the house and they 100% expect the parents to do it. But our parents of our generation were like, okay.
Yeah, great.
Great.
Get your shit.
That's cool because Carson's on in a few minutes and I want to watch. So get it going. Let's get it going.
Well, it kind of works too because like I think kids just, think you're not going to call their bluff.
Yeah, it just probably deflates.
Because like as soon as you walk out the door, like there were times in my life that I think I thought about growing, like leaving, but then I would always be like, but there's nowhere to go.
Where do you go?
That, like I don't have anything and nobody likes me that much. Yeah. Like I'm not like going to like knock on my friend's door and be like, I live here now. Yeah. I knew that wasn't how that worked.
Yeah, I had a really bad fight with my dad when I was a junior in high school. My dad was pretty abusive and he was an alcoholic and he beat me up when I was at that age. Yeah. And I was like, that's it, I'm leaving. And I went and I stayed at a friend's house for like a week. And then I eventually came back and we talked it out or whatever. I mean, not really, but you know, gotta live at home. You know what I mean?
Right.
What are you gonna do? But I remember leaving at that age and just being like, hey, can I come over to your house? And the dude's like, yeah, absolutely. You can stay. And I stayed in his basement. Like stayed in his basement for a week.
Yeah.
And then eventually came back home. But I remember like, you know, that I never did it before then. Like I never tried it before then. But I know that there's a lot of stories of kids who just like, I'm leaving. And just leaving.
So like, parents are like, all right,
cool.
I still know you're so scared. I'm still claiming you on taxes.
I say that. I'm sure that they were like leaning around the corner being like, are they going to turn around soon?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that all parents were heartless back then, but I think that there was just a different way to like let kids get to the end of their rope and not try to talk them down, you know?
Yeah. Well, like I said, call their bluff a little, like let them get scared.
Let them get scared a little.
Come back. I don't know if that was better.
I don't know if it was better either.
I don't know if it was worse.
Yeah.
But it was different.
It was definitely different. Definitely different than now. That's for sure. All right, that's going to wrap it up for our goofy show this week. Be sure to tune in on Monday. Fingers crossed, we'll have a guest on Monday's show. So tune in. We should have a good time. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards.
Now, normally I don't believe in psychiatry, but in your case, it might be a good idea. Because you're
nuts. Shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the show, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/dissonancepod. Help us spread the word by sharing our content. Find us on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, and Threads, all under the handle @dissonancepod. This show is CAN-credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm on their hotline at 617-249-4255 or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org.